So here's the test. What is my job? Everybody knows I only work 2 days a week. What is my job? I'll tell you what my job is in case you didn't know. My primary job, the reason why I was hired and called to this church, is to spread the gospel to you, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the congregation. That's the first job, to preach and teach. And I'm going to give you a list, but it's really not in priority. A lot of these things take priority. They go back and forth and back and forth. But the center of job that I have is all centered on bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to my congregation and my family, my church family. That's my job. I also am called to fix the toilets. No, that's been added. Okay, that's good. No, I don't. Actually, I haven't touched a toilet in the last 3 years. Praise God. Except for my own. My jobs are to baptize. Maybe you all see me do that. I'm getting better at that. To prepare people for confirmation when they want to be members of the church. I'm supposed to be part of the leadership of that team to disciple people. My job is to comfort my congregation when they're in struggling, when you're sick and when you're struggling, and to comfort you and to bring you counsel when it comes to what the Lord would say to what you're doing. I'm supposed to be there for that. That's part of my job. So don't bother worrying about how it makes me feel or if you're bothering me. My job is to come. I'm a professional comforter. That's what I do. So don't hesitate to call me if you're having struggles. Also, I'm supposed to be there when you're happy. I don't usually get those calls. Usually you're off having fun and smiling and you don't need me around. It's good. Also, a big part of my job, and this is back to confirmation, is to disciple. I'm to teach from the scriptures and raise up a group of people who are mature in Christ and are walking in the ways of the Lord. And that they have a ministry, not necessarily the priesthood, but certainly a ministry, that they know who they are in Christ and they're able to talk about their faith in a way that leads other people into that same life and maybe their ministry and to disciple others. I'm to teach people to teach people. So if you've been coming and not getting any of that, it's probably my fault. So you need to come have words with me and say, I need to know more about this Jesus. And that will shock me. And after I get up off the ground, I will talk about him with you. I'm supposed to train you in the ways of the Lord. But it all starts with the gospel. My main job is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the congregation. Because there is food there. There is nourishment there. There is maturity there. There is grace there. There is healing there. And it all starts with the Word of God. And it's where we learn fully about Jesus Christ. We can learn of his existence through other books other than the Bible. But learning who he was and what he was doing and why he came is my job to tell you from the scriptures. Your job is to react to what I do for you. I don't mean ingratitude. I mean, if I bring the gospel message to you, your job is to listen, to inwardly digest, which is a great Anglican term, and then to live a life that reflects your understanding and your knowledge of the gospel. If you leave here and what I have said has bounced off you, then you're not doing your job. I'm sorry. That's your job, to open up your heart and let it fly inside and soak up into who you are. You are jars of clay to be filled with the message of the gospel. To let the words soak in. To let the words change you. To let the message of the gospel transform you. To allow that to happen. Because you're the one who allows that to happen. I can bring you the good news. I can walk with you in the way of the good news. But unless you allow it to change you and transform you, nothing's going to happen. That is your job. And if you've been here for a number of years and say, I just haven't gotten anything out of this church, that's not my fault. And it's not anybody else's fault. It's your fault. I know this because I was in seminary for 3 years. And the first 2 years, I was forced to go to this service in the middle of the day. And we did Anglican chant. Let me tell you, that's no excitement. Anglican chant is dull. I'm sorry, I have a degree in classical music, and I say it's dull. It's a lot of this. Lord, we thank you for coming to church today.
And also,
yeah, that's it. And I sat through hours of that, and I was like, this is miserable. And then I said that to a friend of mine, who I should never have spoken to because he's super smart. And he said, well, son, that's your fault. And I said, what? How can it be my fault? I'm David Dubay. He said, that's your fault. You're letting the style of worship get in the way of the Holy Spirit. You're actually blocking the work of God. And I said, oh, I see. From then on, I got to tell you, I still hate an Anglican chant. But I started to worship, and the Anglican chant meant something to me. And I can actually chant, and someday we'll do it. when I get you too excited, and I have to bring you back down a little bit. That's all we have to do, is we have to react. We can't be passive when it comes to receiving the gospel. We can't just say, I'm here for my fill-up, sir, and then I'll be gone. You have to say, I'm here to change something. God is going to do something in me, and I want to know what that is. And so we have this message today of the sower sowing seeds, which is a sweet little story. They've made lots of little cartoons about it and little books, and it's really sweet, but it's probably one of the most profound things Jesus said, and it's a little bit harsh. We're going to talk about it in just a second. The first step in being transformed and reacting properly to the gospel is to acknowledge that we need God, that we need what Jesus has for us. The first step in a kingdom life, in a life that was heaven pour into what we are now, is to say, okay, I'm here, and I love the people, and I like the food, and we had a wonderful little time together, and I love the fellowship, but what I really need is that change that God has for my life, even if it's tiny. And so I have to acknowledge, I have to say, I need you, Lord. There's a great song we sing, Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you. That's what you have to say every time you walk in here. You're not just clicking off church time. You need the Lord, and you're coming here to find him anew. That's the first step. And that's really the only step. Just saying yes. Other thing you have to know as a Christian, if you want the Lord to really work in your life and you to become transformed into what he wants for you, is you have to realize that our life with God, actually, a lot of us think we're going to go to church, we're going to do what we got to do, and we're going to get to heaven, and then it's going to start. Boom! That's when the fun starts. That's when all this stuff goes on. I'll be flying around. I have my new body. It'll be great. Everything is perfect and great and shiny. But see, the thing about the reason why Jesus came to earth is that he wanted us to know that that life starts now. With him in our hearts and lives, that heaven life can start now. The abundance of the kingdom of heaven pours down into our life now if we receive the word of the Lord and let it change who we are. And let it mess around with our hearts and minds. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not we will go to the kingdom, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come to us. It'll pour into us. I mentioned this before, I think, but the Irish call a church or a religious place a thin place where the kingdom of heaven can get super close to where we are on this earth. Prayer is a thin place. Worship is a thin place. Singing a hymn sometimes can be a thin place. Being alone and quiet, seeking God's message, that's a thin place, a place where the kingdom of God pours out into our life. So our lives in Christ does not begin at our death. It begins at our born-again moment where Jesus comes into our life and we say, yes, Lord, I take those baptismal vows my parents made for me and I make them my own. I believe what they believed. And that's when we start to have this kingdom life now. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he went and spoke about this parable. He spoke this sort of a cryptic farmer tale where he's walking along throwing seeds everywhere. And the people are the soil. And the seeds is the good news of the gospel. And the farmer is God. And the crows are the devil. And there's other stuff too. There's all kinds of different pictures. And it's a great little story. But he was talking to people who needed to hear this, who were living lives that were actually battling the blessings of God. They were living lives according to the flesh. Now, when we hear that language, according to the flesh, we're thinking, okay, Puritans don't like a PG-13 movie, that kind of thing, right? Anybody wearing a bikini, I can't, get all that, get out of our lives. No, no, no. What he's talking about when it comes to the flesh is when your goals in life are just to make yourself happy and to get ahead for the sake of may having a better life on your terms, that is living in the life of the flesh. And that was, he was worried about that because the people all around him were just like you and me. They really, really did not have time for so much religion. They really just wanted to be rich and famous. That's all they really wanted. They really just wanted to have everything they wanted. That's all they wanted. They really just wanted to have the right house in the right neighborhood and the right clothing and the right electronics and the right car. That's all they ever wanted. And Jesus was saying, you're wasting your time. And when you die, he says later on, none of that stuff goes with you. He says this parable, and then he has this neat discussion with the disciples that they leave out of this reading. And then they say, by the way, Jesus, what in the world did you mean by the seed story? That was cute. What did you mean? And he goes on to explain it. The rabbis of that day told parables to make a point. And he went on to explain. I'm going to read to you from another version of the Bible. I call this Bible the Cheater Bible. It's called The Message. And it's a way that I can figure out what the Bible's saying if I can't figure out what the Bible's saying. Because the fellow who wrote The Message was a pretty profound theologian. Still is. Study the story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. You know those people? Oh, what a sweet message that is. And that's a real important one for you. I'm glad I heard it. It'll make me a more rich person. But no, I'm going to walk this way. You know them. They're open to hearing everything, but not open to taking in anything. Are you like that? When you hear the word of God, does it make you feel excited that you've had the experience, but really doesn't affect you? He was talking to you and to me. This is the seed that the farmer scatters on the road. The seed that's cast on the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm, but there is no soil of character there. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there is nothing to show for it. I know I have been this person because there wasn't enough emotion for me in worship with the Anglican chant. I wasn't feeling the presence of the Lord, and so I was denying his presence in the room, which is not what happened. He was there. And many people have come to me over the last 25 years. I've heard this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to this other church because it makes me feel better there. I feel more like God is there. The music is so much. Oh, one guy said to me, I like it over there. It feels like Crescio all the time. And I wanted to say, well, it's not Crescio all the time. Crescio of a weekend is intense enough, but all the time? If you're not getting what you need at church, wait it out. If you're not getting what you need from the music or the teachings or the service, go to the people who are leading and saying, why don't we try this? Or why don't you try this? I don't mind that. If you need something out of the worship service you're not getting, I'm open to listening to you. I may say no, but I will listen to you. And if it's something worth it, I'll give it a shot. Know that if the Holy Spirit is allowed into your heart, almost any kind of real worship will do the job. And so it's our responsibility to be open to God no matter what the environment is. That's why for a long time I was content to remain in the Episcopal Church. I did not mind that I was a conservative minority. I loved it. It was exciting to me. It's almost strange to be in a big room full of worshipers now, all these priests and all these people who believe the same thing. It's very hard for me. I can't rebel against anything. Let the Lord push past your emotions Let him push past the distractions of this world. Let him push past the things that will get him, that'll just block him out. And let him get in there and mess around with your heart and mind. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but the weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what is heard, and nothing comes of it. You know, the things that we have as priorities are like this. This is the people who are more worried about those other things. You know, it's a struggle, and I mean for me too, to put $20 in the plate here, but it's no struggle for me to go to Belk's and spend $40. It's a struggle for me to plan 2.5 months ahead for something going on in the church. But if something comes up that's more than I like better, I don't have any problems wiping the church part out. That is third right down, unless I'm working at it, right? But when I was in the regular congregation, when I was just a member of a church and not the priest, if there were big things going on in the church and something cool happened somewhere else, they were gone. I was gone. It's hard to make the church a priority for us because really there's so many other things pulling in our way, in our lives. It's hard for us to make church a priority. It's hard for us to make worship a priority. It is hard. But I tell you something someone said to me the other day. The easiest thing that we can do as Christians is come to church. No, I'm talking to you and you're in church. But the second easiest thing to do is to invite somebody. The first easy thing to do for God. If you're going to do nothing else for God, you come to church. You've done a great thing because you have connected with Him in worship, and that is something that blesses you and blesses Him. And the second easiest thing is to say to your friend you haven't seen in a while, why don't you come to church with me? That's it. We're not asking anything else from you. But this is what He says to the people who are what He calls good soil. Who receive the word of the Lord and something happens. There's no impediment. There's no worry outside that gets in the place of God. There is worry, but it does not get in the place of God. There is certainly struggle and there is disease and there are other things, but those people don't let it get in the way of their relationship with God. And what happens here is the seeds that cast on the good soil is the person who hears and takes in the good news of Christ and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. That doesn't mean he works harder than the other people. It means that that relationship with God brings about abundance and grace and mercy and healing they never could have received unless they were open to it, unless they had acknowledged they had a need for a Savior, unless they had been willing to listen, even with all the noise of the world going on. And that's what he's saying to us right now. He's looking into our eyes and into our hearts right here, and saying, this other junk in your life, get rid of it and put me in the middle of it all. Don't make me the second or third priority. Make me, says God, one, number one, and the rest of that stuff will either be not important or fall into place. He guarantees it. It's the message of the gospel. Abide in me, he says, and you will bear fruit. And what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit is he talking about? What kind of abundance? You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? The fruit that is given to us in our lives if we let the Lord be the center of everything? He's very clear. Paul says, love, joy, patience. Anybody here need patience? You don't have to pray for it if the fruit of the Spirit is pouring out of you because you have it. Kindness. Anybody here need to be more kind to their loved ones or to themselves or to other people? Goodness. Are you not good? Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are not hallmarks of this world. Just turn on the television. There are very few gentle people with self-control there. God wants that for you and for me. He wants us to be good soil. He wants us to have an abundant crop of these things. He wants us to be like the plants in my backyard. I planted caladium, these colored plants all over my backyard. And in one big pot, I filled it with potting soil and I planted them and I went away. And 3 weeks after that, they're three times the size of the other plants because they got nutrient and they got good soil. And that's what God wants for us, for our hearts and our minds and our spirits to be three times as big as those around us who don't know Him. And what happens? We are blessed, but then we pour out that blessing onto others. No program. No fellowship meal. No men's hike. No women's conference can do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We start with Jesus. We will blossom. We will have life abundant. We will have grace upon grace. And we will be able to weather the storm in a way that we wouldn't before. Be good soil. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Walk in His way. Love Him as Savior and let Him do His job. The farmer is coming. Amen.